to another enchanting episode of the Witchcrafty Wellness Podcast. Today, we have the incredible Kira Burgess of Soul Insight joining us. Kira acknowledges herself as granddaughter of the stars, daughter of Mother Earth and Father Sun, and sister to all her earthly universal relations. She is a yoga and meditation teacher, designer, and gifted intuitive guide with a unique ability to see beyond the ordinary. Get ready to delve into the world of intuitive vision for every day as Kira shares her insights and guidance on unlocking your own intuitive path. Kira, thank you so much for being here with us today. Let's get started with the basics. Can you explain what intuitive vision means to you and how it differs from conventional perception?
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me, Robin. Intuitive perception and how it's different from everyday perception. I think for me, it's about finding meaning. And some people do not live their lives that way at all, so this may not be for you. But if you love the idea of finding meaning in different things, that's something that I live my whole life by. So it would be like reading between the lines or using my senses to understand what messages are coming through beyond just the literal physical. So this analogy came to my mind, like if you're looking at the pages of an open book and you see all the ink and all the letters and all the words, there's meaning in all the letters. And then you can also kind of zoom out and find patterns in the ink and kind of like what you see in the ink. And then you can also focus instead on the white space, like the negative space, you would call it in art, and just start to read and like understand and perceive in these different ways. So it's kind of like changing your focus, like if you're using a camera, like changing the aperture and just seeing things in different ways would be.
Yeah. I feel like not everybody does this. I feel like this is something that is unique, but sounds really, really amazing. Can you actually just give a quick example of something like in nature that would, or like around you that would be? Yeah.
For sure. Nature is like my greatest teacher. So that's a great way to give an example. I think I would say like observing. So let's say I'm looking just at the frame of the landscape outside me, like looking out a window, and observing, and then seeing maybe what's moving or what's most noticeable and what's most subtle, and just kind of taking it all in with all of my senses. And so sometimes that is my vision, like I'm kind of a visual person, whether my eyes are open or closed, that's how I perceive things. But then also kind of tapping into like, am I hearing anything? Am I feeling, is my gut saying anything? And then noticing like, sometimes it's not the things that are moving, but like, let's say a bird flies in or like a donkey or like, you know, whatever comes through could be like part of the message that's being catalyzed at the moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. My immediate thought goes to this book called Earth Magic by Stephen D. Farmer. And he talks about like different creatures that protect the earth and like live in the land. And one of them being fairies. And he talks about how they live in the in-between. And so when you're walking through the woods, you can't look at a plant. You have to look kind of like in the space in between the things that are obvious. And so I feel like that kind of is what you're saying. And so I feel like that's just super cool, is to start to look in between stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily pay attention to and see how your body feels, which is really cool.
Yeah. I love that you say fairy, because I'm staying in Ireland at the moment that we're talking, and just up the road there's the bog. So I'm near the sea, and then also the other direction you walk like 7 minutes and then you're in the middle, it feels like the middle of nowhere, but it doesn't feel dead at all. It feels like, I think because I have like this great reverence for being here on the land in Ireland. And like, I was thinking yesterday while I was walking through the bog, like, oh, that's a bird, but like, maybe it's a fairy. Like maybe there are fairies, but they haven't shown themselves to me, but that's okay. Like no pressure. But like it was interesting because that's exactly where I was seeing the birds flying, was like between the trees and the shrubs, and like I'm like, well, you
Okay.
never know, but like it's catching your eye, so like
Yeah.
pay attention. But I also like that kind of what I find to be like wise and true is to not need the answer immediately, which I think we kind of have been conditioned completely opposite to that, and like conditioned to have anxiety when we don't have the answer. And I think there's like this huge amount of expanse energetically and like in your mind and in your body and everything and in your breath when you don't need the answer. And so like just me thinking like, oh, like could that be a fairy, or like could this be a message, like could what I'm seeing be meaningful and carry a message, and not needing to know immediately.
Right, it all unfolds. Stop trying to control things.
And sometimes the message comes like a year later. Like there's things, like my mom passed away 2.5 years ago, and there are things that didn't make sense at the time, but I knew like this is a sign, like this is a message. That's a message. So I was kind of like collecting this catalog of messages, and then as time went on, like through her illness and then through her passing and through all of that, now I look back and say, oh, okay, like that's what that was, and that's what that was, and it's given me
Right.
like this whole extra layer of understanding things.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
I feel like when you build up that catalog of messages, you know, whether it be from something significant like losing a loved one, or just, you know, your everyday kind of collecting, that you kind of build an arsenal of kind of symbols and things that are kind of coming up for you more often. So you almost can interpret things a little bit easier, which I feel like leads me into my next question, which is that you often mention like seeing through, between, beyond, and within. Could you maybe elaborate on these layers of perception and how they contribute to developing your intuitive vision in the everyday?
Yeah, it's, I mean, all these things are kind of ineffable, but I'll try my best. I think Roald Dahl, the author, he has some quote. I don't know it exactly, but it's like something about if you're not willing to believe in magic, you'll never see it. You know, something like that. So I choose, and I think I was like, luckily for me, by my mom, like was raised to believe in magic and to look at the world from that point of view. So instead of being like, I want to say limited, but that's also a judgment. Instead of being limited by only believing things exactly as I see them, I think that could also be like a skill that's complementary to our world, but it's not how I approach living. But if I'm willing to see the world as potentially magical or potentially like opposite of how it's presenting itself, or different, or only part of the whole story, then there's like so much more meaning that we could potentially pull out of it, right? Like I just heard this analogy yesterday, but like when you see embroidery and you turn it around and it's like this jumble of threads that make no sense, right? But if we kind of think of when we're looking at the world or at like people or events or situations, and sometimes it's like looking with our eyes, but sometimes it's like maybe like for me it'd be like laying in bed and like pondering like what was that experience, and like not necessarily looking at it, but like sensing it in some way. But like giving myself permission to see and think from these different points of view. Like, look at it from below, look at it from above, look at it from the corner, look at it like from my heart space or from my gut, or like look at it from like, oh, this sounds crazy, but like look at it from like Donald Trump's point of view, or like, you know, like
Sure.
put yourself in all these different ways of seeing. Because we only know our own way unless we let ourselves see things from other ways.
Right.
Yeah, I don't, I think, I don't know if I'm talking around your question, but
No, I feel like
yeah.
that really makes sense. I feel like it really makes sense. My first thought is that looking at life through the innocence of a child being a really great place to kind of start, because I feel like they do see magic in everything. And it gets kind of like, and this is like, for lack of a better word, beaten out of us. In a sense that, like, just life kind of beats us down and makes us just be like, stop looking for stuff like that. But children really see it, even just like in the body processes, like thinking about like the eyes and like the cones and the reflecting light and all of these crazy things. Like, that is magic in itself. And I feel like, I just feel like children can really see that. And so when you can kind of jump into a child's perspective and be like, okay, what would they see? What would I have seen as a child? And then, of course, like from all these other angles to get kind of a more rounded perspective. Yeah,
I love
really
that.
cool.
I'm with my niece and nephews, I'll like get down like to their level. And I think that is interesting. Like it's just kind of practical, but it's also like brings you to the level to relate to that thing, right? Like, and that could be anything, right? Like climbing a mountain to commune with God or whatever, like like get to these different levels or lay on your belly near a
Yeah.
lake or to perceive. And I'm thinking of the dog that I'm looking after right now. Like the first day I went to take him on a walk and he just wanted to sniff like everything, and I was like, okay, but like I really want to go on a big walk so that I can see my things. But then I was like, hey, wait, like that's kind of when you say like life beats it out of us. It's not life. Life is amazing. It's like this colonizing,
Yes.
controlling human structure that we've been trained into. And that's what I was doing to the dog. It's like, I don't actually have to be on any agenda. And I can like see what it's like for this dog to like love this walk and for me not to be in a rush and maybe learn something from the way he approaches it, because that's like what better thing is a dog good at than, or like what is a dog better at than going for a walk, right?
And being like present, like completely present in whatever they're experiencing at that moment. Yeah, I love that so much. So I guess for someone who's starting their own journey in this world, how would you suggest that they begin to see and read signs? What advice would you say for cultivating this type of gift?
I would say start to look at everything as a potential sign or symbol with meaning. And probably an easy way to do that is find something, some kind of system you love. So it could be like tarot cards or oracle cards or like rune stones or especially, I think for me, the elements, like the four or five, however many elements you want to say there are, those are great teachers because we are made of the elements and it's all around us all the time. And those are just like super fundamental, things we can learn from in terms of quality. So starting to look at the differing qualities of, like in super basic sense, I could say like take a circle and a square and a triangle, and like okay, so one is round and then like one has a point at the top and one is flat on the top, and those things all allow for different things to happen to them, and reading into it, and whichever system someone chooses to learn from, like let's say astrology, you can learn kind of all the rules of what each of the signs mean based on their element and if they're fixed or this or that. And I think it is important to remember you can learn all those things and leave space to like break the rules and know that it's there's always potential for an exception.
Yes, that back to that, lose your control over everything a little bit. Yeah, I feel like often people, and me as well, I definitely struggle with this, especially in my own intuitive journey, is that wanting to control. So even in like, it happens rarely, but when it does happen, when I do Reiki sessions, sometimes the person has nothing, like there's nothing to offer. So there's no messages that come through. And again, like I said, that's really rare. But when it does happen, it's like, but I'm like, okay, but like I need to give this person something. I want to give them a message. What's going on here? But it's like, okay, like clearly this is there's not an openness here, or there's, some sort of block, or perhaps, they're this is I'm not supposed to be the one that gives them this message, whatever this looks like, right? But it's hard, in human design, especially people that are A-type like me, struggle to let go of that control and be like, just let it be what it is. And like you had said, wait even a year for answers to come in. Yeah, like I feel like immediate panic when you said that. I don't know if I could wait that long, but yeah, I feel like you're right. We need to kind of like get unconditioned in that way and just be able to like release and let it just happen as well. Put some dedicated effort into it, that's great, but also, like you said, leave space for sure. Yeah, amazing. So moving into the realm of symbolism, we were just talking about learning all the different stuff that you could learn for one particular medium. How do you interpret signs and symbols in your intuitive practice? Can you maybe share like one experience where symbolism played a crucial role in guiding you or someone you know?
I think because over time I've been collecting these things, so my approach is changing and it's new all the time. Like there's consistent ways, there's also new ways. So one story I have is my parents love oak trees, but in Western Canada they don't grow that well. Like you have to plant one yourself and take care of it. So my dad did that, like probably like 25 years ago, he planted one in the backyard, and we have a walkout basement, and it grew like it's now not quite twice as tall as a house, but it's tall. And it wasn't really explained, but there was just this like deep reverence for oak trees for some reason. And then so that's been many years. And then this past October, when I was going to this Celtic healing workshop, on the way out the door, I usually park in the front, but I walk past the oak tree to go to my car in the back, and I saw these two massive oak leaves, like massive. I couldn't believe it. Like, how could they be from our tree? And like, I don't know, like much bigger than the palm of than my whole hand. And I just knew, okay, I have to pick these up. I just have to take these, and I put them in my car, even though I was kind of in a rush, like I stopped. So that's like part of the lesson is like pay attention and like don't rush past. I mean, there's no wrong way to do it, but if you want like a little more oomph to like the meaning is like if your intuition is telling you to like pick that up or take note, then do it. So I took them and they just kind of rode around with me in the car for a while. And on the last day of this week-long workshop, someone said, "Oh, I love the oak leaves on your scarf," which I was wearing my mom's scarf, and I didn't even realize that it was oak leaves that were in the pattern. And then, like, this idea of coming to Ireland was just in the back of my mind. And then a couple months go by, and my cousin wants to buy one of my mom's paintings, and I laid out a bunch of paintings for him, and the one he chose, I didn't know the name of it, and when I looked on the back, it was called Irish Oak.
Oh my gosh.
And so that kind of was like, okay, yes, I need to go to Ireland. And so I came to Ireland, and then I just see like oak leaves everywhere, which is awesome. So that is like one, looking back, it's like, wow, that was like a really strong message. And I understood it a little bit, but the more time went on, the more it's like affirmed, right?
Absolutely. That I feel like is such a great example of just like how when you start looking, how things just unfold. Yeah, and I love that. I feel like, whenever those moments happen for people, they're always like it gets re you get really excited about it. Like there's like this excitement that happens and you're like, "Oh my God, it's the same." Like this connection here. It's funny that you mention like the oak leaves in Ireland and all of that, because when like obviously I've felt like an intuitive guidance in me for a very, very, very long time. But back when I was in Ireland, that was one of the first times that I had a sign come to me, which is just so funny because I feel like it is just this place for kindred spirits, for people that are like connected in that way, just because it is such like the land is just so potent. I don't know if that's like even the word for it, but just it feels magical and spiritual and obviously really, really connected to nature as well. So I love that Ireland played a role in that for you in those symbols that you had there. Very cool. So your ability to share this gift with others is very, very inspiring. I know that you do this work and that you're an intuitive guide for people. Before we wrap up, is there any message or insight that you'd like to leave with our listeners as they start to embark on this path?
I would say that there's no wrong way to do it. Just keep paying attention and use your senses. Like for me, vision is a strong one, but everyone may have something different, right? Like music or like hearing could be different. Like, everyone might have their certain pathway that is stronger. And also tie it to things that you love. So, if you love us, if you love certain heritage, like if you love the Scandinavian stuff, then get into the runes. Or if you love a certain language, or if you love fairies or the moon, like link your intuitive visioning with something you love, and that will, I think, amplify the way that you can move forward with it as a gift.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Basically, ask for what you want. Decide how you want to receive it in that area and allow it to come in that way. Awesome. So, Kira, could you actually share with all of our listeners how they can get in touch with you from here if they're looking for intuitive guidance or perhaps any of your other offerings, your yoga, meditation, or designing skills? Could you just share where people can get in touch with you?
Yes, that's awesome. I will do that. My Instagram account is Kira underscore Burgess, so Keira underscore Burgess. And then on Facebook, I'm Kira Burgess, and my website is kiraburgess.com. So you can book
Amazing.
readings on my website, and I'll see. I have a $19.99 meditation e-course, Intro to Meditation, and I'll see if I can get some kind of like daily intuitive vision workbook up for you people as well.
He's so amazing. I will definitely leave Kira's information in the podcast description. Luckily, it's super consistent, so it should be really easy for you all to find her. But I'll definitely leave it in the podcast description. Thank you so much for that. Kira, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your insights in this intuitive vision for everyday life.
Thank you so much for having me, Robin. It's been awesome to ch chat with you.
To our listeners, may your journey be illuminated with newfound understanding and magic. Stay enchanted, my friends, until our next episode.